2 Corinthians 12, Paul says in verse 10, "Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." What does that mean? When I am weak, I am strong. Well, Apostle Paul had many enemies. I don't know why, but I know he did. He had many enemies outside the church, and unfortunately, he had many enemies within the churches. And some of these men who did not like Paul were men who knew Christ. If you'll turn to Philippians chapter 1, you'll read about them. Philippians 1:14. There's some men who knew Christ, who preached the gospel, who did not like the Apostle Paul. He said in Philippians 1:14, "And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds," by my suffering. He was in prison when he wrote this. Bonds, fetters, chains. "And my chains and fetters and suffering has given them incentive. Are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife." They envy me. They're men of strife, discord, division. "Others of goodwill. One preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, to hurt me more," he said. "But the other, they preach Christ of love, knowing that I'm set for the defense of the gospel." They're my friends, enemies and friends, brethren in the Lord. "Some preach Christ out of contention and envy and strife, some of goodwill, some of love." Verse 18, "What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or whether in truth, whether in envy or strife, whether in love or hoping to add affliction to my bond, Christ is preached." That's one thing, whether they have the right attitude preaching Christ or not, they're preaching Christ. And what did he say? "And I rejoice." I rejoice. "Yea, and I will rejoice." Let's adopt that attitude. Folks don't like us, whatever the reason, I don't know. But if they'll preach Christ, we'll rejoice. No matter the spirit in which they preach him, but we'll still rejoice. But there were some false preachers too. Turn back to the text, 2 Corinthians 12. There were some false preachers who were enemies of Paul, and they tried to convince people that Paul was not an apostle, that he was not a servant of the Lord, and that folks shouldn't hear him. Folks shouldn't listen to him. Folks shouldn't believe him. They wanted to put Paul out of business. They wanted to put Paul out of the pulpit. They said he's not to be listened to. He's not to be followed. So here, this is what led up to our text. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and 11, the Apostle Paul vindicates himself. He does something that he doesn't like to do. He does something that he prefers not to do, that he calls foolish. He said, and I shouldn't even have to do this. You ought to do it for me, he said. Isn't that what he said to those folks? You ought to defend my ministry. I shouldn't have to do it. You're my witnesses in the Lord. You're my epistles read of all men. He said, you heard me preach the gospel and God revealed it to you and saved you. You're the one that ought to defend me. I shouldn't have to defend myself. When these false preachers attacked Paul and tried to put him out of the ministry and said he shouldn't be followed and shouldn't be heard, and he said, I shouldn't have to defend myself. You ought to do it. But he said, I have to do it. And so in the chapter 10, look at verse 7 and 8. Chapter 10, 2 Corinthians 10, verse 7. Do you look on things after the outward appearance? If any man trusts to himself that he is Christ, he belongs to Christ, he's Christ's servant, let him of himself think this again, that as he is Christ, so also am I. He's the servant of Christ, Paul says, I am too. Let him think that over. Verse 8, for though I should boast somewhat more of our authority, God gave me the authority which the Lord has given us for edification, not for destruction. That's not why God called us to preach, to tear down his people and destroy them. He called us to build them up. He gave me my authority, he said, for edification, not for destruction. Not to sow division and discord. That's not why God put us in the ministry. To blow out everybody's candle. So ours will shine a little brighter. It won't work. God didn't give us the authority to do that. To tear down, to destroy. He gave us this authority for edification. You belong to Christ? He said, I do too. You're his minister? I am too. And then in chapter 11, verse 5, chapter 11, he spends his whole 10 and 11 defending his ministry. See, verse 1 of chapter 11, would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, indeed bear with my foolish. This is foolish, he said. I shouldn't be doing this, shouldn't have to do it, but he had to. Verse 5, I suppose I'm not a whit behind the chiefest apostle. Though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge. But we have been thoroughly made manifest among you in all things. You are our proof. God's blessed the ministry, he said, that he gave to me. That's evidence. Been manifest among you. Look at chapter 11, verse 22. Chapter 11, verse 22. These men, he says, that are critical of me and hurtful and trying to put me out of the ministry, are they Hebrews? I am too. Are they Israelites? I am too. Are they the seed of Abraham? I am too, he said. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. You know, he said this over and over again. My folly. This shouldn't be. It shouldn't be. It shouldn't have to be. I speak as a fool. Are they ministers of Christ? I am more. In labors more abundant, I've labored more than any of them. Yet not I, but Christ in me. In stripes above measure, I've suffered more than any of them. In prison, a whole lot more frequently. In death, often of the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes, save one. Twice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. And all these things. Verse 28, besides those things that are without, there cometh upon me daily the care of all the churches. And then in chapter 12, he does something else. Now, you'll understand, if you read 2 Corinthians 10 and 11 and 12, Paul the Apostle is defending his ministry, his call to the ministry, the fact God is... And he said in chapter 12, He takes notice of a most unusual experience, a most remarkable experience with which God favored him. Now, verse 1, he said, "It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. This is not comely. This is not comely. This is not anything to be gained by human boasting." When we boast of our works and of our gifts and of our labors in the kingdom of God, it's not expedient. And Paul wouldn't be doing it except for the good of the church. That's why he's doing it. For the glory of God and the good of the church, and for the encouragement of true brethren who have a sincere motive. He's trying to encourage them. But he said, verse 1, I'm going to come to visions and revelations of the Lord. Now, having spoken of his suffering for Christ and the gospel, he said, I'm going to tell you something that I haven't told you before. I'm going to come to actual visions and revelations of the Lord. You see, you go back over his life, his conversion was a heavenly vision. Christ appeared to him, his conversion. And then secondly, a man of Macedonia appeared to him one time. Remember, and said, "Come over and help us." That's a vision. And then when he was about to leave Corinth, the Lord appeared to him and said, "Stay in Corinth. I have much people there." That was a vision. And then when he was on board that ship, it was about to go down, the angel of the Lord stood by me this night, he said. That's a vision. But here he said, verse 2, now he speaks in the third person. He's talking about himself. He's a very humble man, and this has to be done. So he speaks in the third person. "I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Now, whether in the body I don't know, or whether out of the body I don't know. God knows, but such a one was caught up to the third heaven." The third heaven. When we talk about the third heaven, the heaven as we see it right here. And then the second heaven is beyond all the galaxies or whatever. But the third heaven is the throne of God, the presence of God. And he said, this one, I don't know whether he was in the body, out of the body, I don't know what, but he was actually taken up into heaven. "And I knew such a man," verse 3, "whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell." God knows. "He was caught up into paradise. Our Lord said to the thief on the cross, 'Today you'll be with me in paradise.'" That's where Paul went. "And he heard unspeakable words, which is not possible for a man to utter." What I heard. He didn't say anything about what he saw. He talked about what he heard. The choirs of heaven, or the song of heaven, or the praise of heaven, or the atmosphere of heaven. He said, "What I heard, it is absolutely impossible for me to put in human words. Can't do it." "Now, of such a one, I will glory." I will glory. I will, what he's saying here is, I'll glory in what God's done for me. I'll glory in what God's done for me. I'll glory in his love for me. I will glory in his grace to me. I will glory in his mercy to the chief of sinners. I will not deny the fact that he lifted me out of the miry clay. God did it himself. He singled me out and elected me and chose me to show mercy to me. He lifted me out of the miry clay. He set on my feet in the straight and narrow way. He lifted me up to a heavenly place. And he flooded my soul each day with his grace. Of such a one will I glory. I'll glory in the cross of Christ by which the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. I will glory in his grace. I will glory. I will boast. I'll brag. Yet, of myself, I will not glory. I will not glory in this flesh. I will not glory in myself. I will not glory in my nature. I will not glory, but in my infirmities. I'll glory in my weakness, because when I'm weak, then am I strong. Turn to 1 Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, I won't glory in myself, but I'll glory in what God did for me. And I'll glory in the fact that I am an object of his grace. I'll glory in that fact. I'll glory in my infirmities. In 1 Corinthians 1, verse 26, you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. Paul says, I'm one of those foolish. I glory in my foolishness. I glory in my infirmities. I'm just glad that I know how foolish I am. And not only that, but he said he's chosen the weak things of the world. I'll glory in that. I'm one of those that God chose, those weak things of the world, to confound the things which are mine. And base. I'll glory in that fact that I am base. And things which are despised, I'll glory in that. I want to be despised for Christ's sake. And the things which are not, you're nothing, Paul. All right, I'm glad I'm nothing, because he saves nothings. See what he's saying? Go back to the text now. I'm not going to glory in myself. I have nothing. If I have any grace, God gave it to me. If I have any gifts, God gave it to me. If I have any knowledge, God gave it to me. If I have anything, it's by the grace of God I am what I am. I labor more abundantly than all of you, yet not I, but the grace of God in me. And I won't glory in myself, but I will glory in my infirmities. I'll glory in my baseness and nothingness. I'll glory in that because that's the kind of fella God saves. If you're sitting here this morning, you're overwhelmed by a sense of your sins and your unworthiness, be glad of it. Isn't that right? Isn't that better than being lifted up in pride and being rejected of God? Be glad of it. I won't glory in myself. But I will glory in my infirmities. Now read on. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. I would desire to glory in my accomplishments. A man goes somewhere and God's pleased to use him to be a blessing to people. There's a desire there to be lifted up. He said, I'm not going to be a fool, though. I'm not going to be... For I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me, and lest I should be exalted above measure. And the temptation's always there, let's be honest. That song Mike just sang, let's get off me and use you a little bit, Mike. You made my day. That song was beautiful. Now, he has a gift. God gave it to him. He got up and sang, selected the right song. He was a blessing to everybody here. He's human. I am, you are, everybody else. There's that tendency and that desire and that I did well. That's just us, isn't it? And that's what Paul's saying here. I would desire to glory, but I'm not going to be a fool. It's like when you help someone along the way. If you have, God's blessed you with the whatever you have, and here's a brother that's down and out, and you give to him, and you buy him a suit, and you put him on his feet, and get him a job, and You know, there's a little tendency to say, I did good. That was pretty good. Isn't that so? That it's just there. Paul said, I desire the glory, but I'm not going to be a fool. But I will tell you the truth. God had to work on me to keep me from glory. Now listen to what God did to him. Verse 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of these revelations and these gifts, God gave me a thorn in the flesh. I am weak. He's going to show me how weak I am. I am base. He's going to show me just how base I am. I am nothing. He's going to show me what a nothing I am. I am despised, and I got a right to be despised. That's what God's going to show him. He gave me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan. What was it? Boy, they've been arguing this for 6,000 years, 2,000 years. Some say it was poor eyesight. Some say it was a despicable temper. Some say it was just they kept trying to figure out, nobody knows. But we do know this. That the Apostle Paul, who was so gifted and so blessed and so used of God, lest he be proud and lifted up, God let Satan literally overwhelm him with a thorn in the flesh, is what it was in. It was in the flesh. It didn't stop him from praying. It didn't stop him from preaching. It didn't stop him from witnessing. It didn't stop him from loving. It didn't stop him from walking with God. It was his flesh, that thorn in the flesh, whatever it was. And verse 8, for this thing, I besought the Lord three times that he might take it away. Take away this whatever it was. Take away this tendency to flesh. Take away this thoughts or imagination or desire or lust or weakness or whatever it is. And God said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. For my strength, my glory, my power is fully made perfect and revealed and glorified in your weakness. God says the more that you can realize and demonstrate and understand just what you are, the more I be lifted up in my grace to you. Isn't that what he's saying? My strength is made perfect in your weakness, in your frailty, in your infirmities, in your flesh. Most gladly, therefore, then I will glory in my infirmities. If it's going to give God the glory, then I'll glory in it. If realizing my weakness and my frailty and my dumbness and infirmities and ignorance, and if I can get up in front of the people and literally strike out, if it'll glorify God, then I'll glory in it. I'll glory in it. I'll thank God for it. That's what he's saying. I'll say that's what it ought to have been done. I mess up. Just mess up. But in messing up, I realize all the spotlight goes off me and goes on him. Then that's what I ought to have done. I ought to have messed up. You understand what I'm saying? That's what Paul said. That's the reason I glory in failure. That's the reason I glory in this thorn in the flesh. That's the reason I glory in my infirmities, because it shuts my mouth and turns the spotlight on him and his goodness to such a worm. I glory in the fact I'm a worm, because God saves worms. That's what he's talking about. Therefore, verse 10, therefore, I will take pleasure in my weaknesses, in my infirmities. I'll take pleasure in insults, in reproaches. I'll take pleasure in necessities. I can't meet my needs. I'm dependent on him. I'll take pleasure in persecution. That's all right. In distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Now, what does that mean there? Well, there's a sense, let me give you this, in which this is not applicable. There's some areas when I'm weak, I'm not strong. No, we can't misuse this. We can't excuse anything. Weakness in the doctrine of Christ can't make me strong. Isn't that right? Weakness in the doctrine of Christ won't make me strong. And people say, well, I don't know anything about the Bible. I love Jesus. You better find out something about the Bible. Now, weakness in doctrine does not make you strong. And preachers, that's the reason Paul said, I kept back nothing profitable unto you. I've not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. We need to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed. Tell you something else. Weakness in prayer is not going to make me strong. If I neglect prayer and devotion, I'm not going to be strengthened by it. I'm going to be weakened by it. Isn't that right, John? It don't make you strong to neglect the prayer closet. And I tell you, weakness in study and weakness in preparation. Us fellas that preach and y'all that teach and other places, somebody said, well, I'm just going to depend on inspiration. Let me tell you something. Inspiration is about 80% perspiration. And preparation. Amen. That's right. And that's not going to make me strong. If I'm lazy out yonder and get up here, God's not going to make me strong. He's not going to make me strong. And weakness in faith is not going to make me strong. Abraham was strong in faith, giving glory to God. That's not going to make me strong. And weakness in love for Christ is not going to make me strong. No, weakness in love for others is not going to make me strong. I ran into a fellow one time that's got a reputation for being hard to get along with. He professes to be a believer, a Christian. And he excuses it with, well, that's just the way I am. Well, change. That's not going to make you strong. Well, I'm just that way. Well, you're not going to be strong for being that way. Weakness in love for others, weakness in character and conduct are not going to make you strong. And weakness in faithfulness. What is the application? All right, let me give it to you. Here's what Paul's saying. When I'm weak, then I'm strong. First of all, I'm weak before the throne of God. I'm weak. David said, when I consider the heavens, the work of thy hands, the sun, the moon, the stars, the things thou hast made. What is man that thou art mindful of him? David went and sat before the Lord. He said, Lord, who am I and what is my people that we should be the recipients of such mercies? Nothing. Mephibosheth bowed before David. He said, who am I that you should show such mercies to such a dead dog? I tell you, before the throne of God, before the presence of God, I am weak. Weak, aren't you? And I feel that weakness in His awesome, awful presence. I'm weak before the law. I'm so weak before the holy law of God that even my righteousness is a filthy rag. I can't not keep the holy law of God. What the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His only Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, condemned sin in the flesh. Before the law of God, we are weak, weak, weak. And the older you get, the weaker you get. I'm weak before the Word of God. This is a book of mysteries. I hear men seem to indicate that the older they get, the more they know about the Bible. I tell you, the older I get, the less I know about God's Word. Mysteries. Christ said to His disciples, I got many things to say to you. You're not even able to bear them. Paul said, I know in part, I preach in part, I see through a glass dimly. He said, if any man thinks he knows, he doesn't know anything. The greater the circumference of light, the more darkness it encounters. The more you learn about God, the more you realize you don't know about God. The more you learn about the gospel, the more you realize you don't know about the gospel. The more you learn about the mysteries of His kingdom, the more you realize you don't know. The more darkness you run into. Every time you open a new door into another room, you've got all kind of problems. Isn't that right? I'm weak before the Word of God. I'm weak before trials. We talk about needing trials, and we do. We talk about trials coming from the hand of God, and they do. We talk about trials and tribulations working patience, and they do. We talk about trials strengthening faith, and they do, but I don't like them. Do you? And I tell you one reason I don't like them is there's no time that my weakness shines like it does during a trial. No time. I'm weak before the throne of God. Who shall stand? I'm weak before the law of God. I'm weak before the Word of God. And I'm weak before trials. I just don't like them. Because when I face a heavy trial and a heavy burden and a heavy disappointment, I see my nature too badly. It comes out. Does yours? Yeah. And I don't like what I see. I'm weak. I'm weak before trial. I'm weak before responsibility. Lord, who is sufficient for these things? I know a lot of people that are itching for more responsibility. And why in the name of the Lord, I don't know why. Who is sufficient for these things? Charles Spurgeon, I picked this up yesterday. He wrote to his grandfather. This is what he said. Telling about that letter he wrote. He said, for many years, my preaching was exceedingly painful to me because of the fears which beset me before entering the pulpit. Often my dread of entering the pulpit and preaching the gospel and facing the people has been so overwhelming. I wrote to my grandfather, and I told him many things that happened to me before I went in the pulpit. I had overwhelming mental emotions. I had sickness of body. I had pains in my stomach. I had terrible fears which gripped my heart. And I wrote to my grandfather, and the old gentleman wrote back and said, son, I've been preaching 60 years. I still feel the same tremblings and the same fears every time I preach. And son, be content to have it so. For when your emotions go away, your strength will be gone. When you're weak, you're strong. And when you're able to preach and think nothing of it, when you're able to teach and think nothing of it, the people will think nothing of it. And God will do nothing with it. Isn't that good? I'm weak before responsibility. I'm going to keep accepting them when He hands them out. And you are too. But that doesn't keep us from being weak. And I'm weak before spiritual watchfulness, aren't you? I want you to turn to Matthew 26. I want you to listen to this. Oh, how tender is our Lord. Matthew 26. I just love this because I needed it. Maybe somebody here does. But in one of our Lord's most trying moments, in one of His most difficult times, when He went to the garden to pray before the cross in Matthew 26, verse 38. And here He is praying to the Father and said, my soul is exceeding sorrowful even unto death. He's speaking to the disciples here. He said to the disciples, my soul is exceeding sorrowful even unto death. Tarry here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, "Oh, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thy will." And he cometh to the disciples and found them asleep. And he said to them, "What, could you not watch with me not even one hour? Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but what? The flesh is weak." He went away again the second time, and he prayed and said, "Oh, Father, if this cup may not pass from me, except I drink it, thy will be done." And he came and found them asleep again. That's me. Is that you? Sometimes when I want to pray, I just fall asleep. Sometimes when I want to study, I get so tired. Get your Bible and get in your easy chair and get all relaxed, to spiritual watchfulness. And then you start reading and studying and paper falls in the floor. That's us. But I'm glad he's the Lord. Listen. And he left them. Their eyes were heavy. He left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then he came to his disciples and said, "Sleep on and take your rest. It's all right. The hour has come. Son of Man betrayed in the hand of sinners." It's okay. I tell you, the sooner we realize we're people, and people are people, and they're not going to be anything but people. That's all. I had an uncle one time who said, "Folks don't expect much out of me, and I don't disappoint them." And that's about right. And we're just not very alert, are we? Now, we can be alert when this old flesh is concerned. I mean, we can stay with it. We can watch something on television 3 hours and be as alert. And when we come to these spiritual matters, we're pretty weak, aren't we? Well, what are we going to do? Preacher's going to get up here and get out the whip of the law, you know, and tear and rip and snuff. Won't do any good. When they leave, they're still people. And he is too. It's not going to change one thing. It's not going to change. I'll tell you this. I'll be weak in death. People talk about how they want to die and how they're going to die and how they're going to do all these things. I don't know whether you will or not. I never have been a good patient. Have you? I don't like to hurt. I get contrary when I hurt. Don't you, Tom? Let's be honest. I don't like pain, don't like suffering, don't like frailty, and I dread it. But it must come in God's time, but I'm still weak. And I could go on. You say stop, that's enough. It is, isn't it? But what I want to show is we're weak. But when I'm weak, I can't stand before the throne, but he can. When I'm weak, when I know my weakness, when I'm fairly convinced of it, when my weakness is made real, then I look to Christ. He can stand before God. I can't produce a righteousness. He can. I know him so faintly, but bless God, he knows me. I can't conquer Satan, but he can. I can't endure the trials and suffering, but he give me grace. And when I come to the valley of death, and I come to that cold waters of Jordan, I can't make it through, but he'll pick me up and carry me. When I'm weak. And the sooner I come to realize it, the better off I'll be. Quit leaning on this arm of flesh. You see, Paul says, when I'm weak, I'm strong, because that's when I flee to Christ. Like the coney that makes his home in the rock, little old rabbit. What's weaker than a rabbit? But I tell you, if he ever gets in the hole in the rock, nothing can get him. And he can feel pretty cocky. He can stick his tongue out. He can hide in that hole in the rock and poke fun at the fox. Yes, he can. When he's weak, he's strong. Now, if he thought he was strong, that fox would kill him, because he'd stand out there and try to do it himself. But he realized he's weak, and what did he do? He ran to the hole. When I'm weak, I'll pray. Prayer is born of necessity. So the weaker I am, the better off I am, because that's when I'll pray. When I'm weak, I'm sure to care for and sympathize with others that are weak. Weakness does not feel uncomfortable in the presence of weakness. No, it doesn't. Weakness does not. Weakness identifies with weakness. And I'll tell you, if I really know I'm weak, I'll be willing to serve in the smallest capacity. Because that's really too much for me if I'm weak. Isn't that right? If I'm really weak, then I'll be willing to serve in the smallest capacity, knowing that I am weak. And then if I'm weak, really weak, and know it, then when this thing's all over, even now and then, I'm going to give him all the glory. All the glory. I don't deserve any of it. I know it. And how do I know it? Because I'm weak. So here Paul, I hope this has been a blessing to hear Paul went through all this defending and assuring the people God called him and sent him, but then he stops all of it and he said, but I want you to know this. I glory in my weakness. That's what I glory in. Because when I am weak and know it, and you know it, that's when I'll be strong. If God does anything here through any of us, we'll give him the glory because we know who did it. We know who did it. We couldn't do it.